the Lord. We're going to worship.
So I don't think there is anything announcing except prayer. Please join us for prayer on Wednesday night. There's a flyer in your worship folder. It's great to just get to pray together. So we're trying to pick a date for the next episode of The Chosen, and we'll have a potluck at the same time. It was really great to have a potluck and get together, so we will plan on doing that again. So we have episode 5 and 6 coming up, so it will be good. So anyway, again, join us in prayer. You can just even call on the telephone and join us if you don't want to do Zoom. So it's very easy. Fred and Carolyn call. It works fine. So, okay. Does anybody else have announcements of any kind? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, oh, we just thank you for today, and we just praise your holy name that we can come, that we have a place that we can come and just worship you and just forget everything, all of the stress around us, and just come and worship and praise your name. Father God, be with us in our songs. Be with Pastor Teresa as what you've laid on her heart to share with us, and let our hearts just be open to what we're supposed to hear. Lord, we just love you, we praise you, and we thank you for this time that we can come and worship together. In Jesus' precious name. Good morning, all 8 of you. Oh, what's that? Oh, pardon. Let's stand and do call to worship. Good idea. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. All right. The first song, don't sit down. The first song we sing requires standing up because you got to have that lung power. When the roll is called up yonder, and this is Substitute Song Leader Sunday, and this is old-timey Sunday. Okay. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning brings the eternal bright of day, when the saved on earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On the bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when the chosen ones are gathered to their home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Called up yonder.
may be seated.
You may be seated. This church, I am told, was built around 1898, right, Fred? 1898. Like 130 years ago. That was only 30 years after the Civil War. Can you imagine what it was like out here? Bagging up the family to go to church, taking it kind of slow since it's God's day. And that's where they paddled you, I believe. Oh, how awesome. Well, imagine yourself coming to church Sunday morning out here. Been going around the bend and smelling the creek, sun on your face. And there it is, little white church, little white steeple, bell in the steeple, an owl or two living there, and a brand new oak tree that we just planted. It's little, but we're hoping it'll grow. But imagine back then, and the come around men and the women are over here talking and catching up on last week's news, and the men are over there laughing and lying about how many fish they got out of the creek. And then you hear it, the bell. The bell rings, tells everybody who can hear for miles around, it's time to worship, and we worship here. And then they start coming in through this door, right here, same door. They come in, and they stand where you are standing. And they sit where you are sitting today. A lot has changed out there. A lot has changed. But in here, not so much. We still come to worship as a family of believers. We love each other. We love God. We serve an infinite God, an omnipotent God, the same one. And we come together to do that. Same place, 130 years later. That's pretty awesome. So, we're going to sing an old song that possibly they sang way back when. It's called Mansion Over the Hilltop. If you don't know it, it's okay. We'll just get through it. Okay. Thank you.
deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged. I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion.
Stand up, just so you can like get your leg blood back in there. Stand up, we'll sing our last song here, He Touched Me. I love this song.
Good morning, Gales Creek. God bless you all. Thank you. I need it. Let's take our Sunday morning tithes and offerings. Father, Lord, thank you for the multitude of blessings you have given us, for the things we have and need, for the people you put in our lives to serve us and serve. And the finances make all of that work. Amen. Aren't you glad his eye is on the sparrow? And if he loves the sparrow that much, what about us, huh? Yeah, I'm not saying that Scripture says the sparrow was fearfully and wonderfully made, but I know it says we are, and in his image. So I know how much he cares for me, for you. In that vein of thought, let us share with each other this week praise requests. Yes, praise. I'm getting better. I'm requesting you to praise with me. Prayer requests and praises with our church family here this Sunday. Carolyn. Okay. Carolyn had a mammography with some cloudiness and some follow-up from that, so prayer that all of that turns out as it should. Anyone else? Sarah. This has been quite a journey for Sarah's coworker and Alyssa. Yeah. I was going to let you share the name, hon, but she has, if you follow her Facebook posts, unwavering trust in her God through the darkest of times that we go through as humans, with our seemingly incurable, inoperable stuff with her cancer right now. And she is getting through it by the grace of God and with his grace. Fred. So Stan Marble will be starting some radiation treatment for cancer that remained after his last operation to remove. And so prayer for him. Did you say that was radiation treatment coming? So prayer the radiation treatment hits the target, hits the mark. Judy. So prayer for the Duclos family and health concern there. They are, I don't know if you know it, but they're a family, one of our sister churches usually. I think it's Aloha where they've gone in years. And then prayer for the ladies retreat speaker that had to cancel because of health concerns with two sisters. Am I getting that right? One is COVID on 100% oxygen, and the other one has cancer so bad that it's that she passed away. Yeah. Okay. Sorry if I repeat things too much, but I want to make sure the people out there on Facebook can be part of it, part of the family. Anyone else have a praise or prayer request they'd like to share? So your mom made it through COVID. So praise that Gene is bringing that his mom made it through COVID, and prayer requests for all of those tireless people out there working with our elderly population. And I would say with our younger populations too right now too, because Delta's hitting them harder than before. So Josh. A praise for what? For the food ministry. That is so encouraging to hear. Thank you for the update on your mom. When I was sitting behind you there, she actually came into my heart and realized that I hadn't called her for about 2 weeks. So call and check in and see how Betty's doing. So a praise, Josh, that you're continuing to find fulfillment in working the food ministry here and for your mom's continued recovery. Yes. Jeremy. Jeff and Jocelyn and all of the three cousins are coming in October, so that's going to be cool to get to see some more family. For Dale. Ted, there we go. Yeah. Okay, continued prayer for our brother Ted, who's in the back. I think, is it this week? Is it the endoscopy, right? If I remember trying to track things. Yeah, so, yeah, Thursday, endoscopy, colonoscopy, whatever it takes to find out what's going on with our brother's GI tract and get him squared away. Absolutely. Okay. Carolyn. Yep, Linda is suffering through a quandary, not knowing exactly what's going on with her health right now, so prayer that doctors be given wisdom to find out exactly what's going on and how to treat. Absolutely. Oh, yes. Absolutely. Linda needs strength to take care of her mom. Well, she needs to figure out how to be taken care of. Lord, when we get perfected bodies. Sarah. Yeah. Sarah sharing praises of having kids in her classroom again and being able to teach them and have that awesome mentoring relationship. And prayer that we get to keep them there through everything. Debbie. Prayer for our pastor, our sister Teresa, taking care of her mom and not feeling well. All right, we got your back. Anybody else have something to share or request prayer? I'll tell you this much. I'll echo what Sarah said about having kids in the classroom. This has been the hardest week I've ever had teaching. And so rewarding. Absolutely. Father, Lord, we come to you together as one body. Many families here that you've created to bring together as a church family here to honor and represent you. Father, thank you for keeping the doors open, the lights on, and keeping a place that we can come and together say, we are family, we lift up our burdens, and we share them with each other today. Lord, we lift up Teresa, her health, caring for her mom, for Linda Baxter, for her health, for caring for her mom also. Lord, we lift up several people in the congregation battling with cancer, the speaker from Camp's mom, Carolyn Marble, with some questions on her mammography, and I'm forgetting one, Lord, but you know who they are. And we know that cancer is just part of the fallen nature of this world, and that you, Lord, can redeem any part of it. And we trust you to do that, to redeem each and every situation there. Lord, we lift up our brother Ted to the GI doctors this week, Lord, that they find the causation for his upset stomach and gut, that he may be able to eat and recover fully from his accident as his body can get the nourishment it needs to heal itself. Lord, we lift up so many more needs. Lord, we lift up Betty Culver as she continues to heal. And we lift up caregivers and all of the families that are helping them. Lord, we lift up Al, who's probably helping Betty, and Lord, we lift up Debbie, who's helping Ted and being faithful in that regard. And we lift up Linda, helping her mom. And Lord, we lift up all the teachers out there who are teaching kids again in the classroom. Lord, give them the strength to be the positive, loving role models that the students need to see and grow socially and emotionally, not in isolation. Lord, that's what this church is. Lord, we come together. When it's necessary, we stay apart for our own safety, but Lord, otherwise we come together to worship in spirit together, you, God Almighty. And Lord, we just ask now that, Holy Spirit, we just ask that you get into the hearts and minds of our elected leaders. Show them the godly choices to make for this great nation. We trust you, Lord, to lead them and guide them, and we follow your command to pray for them that you give in Scripture, Lord. We just say, Lord, we lift up our leaders, we lift up their hearts and their souls to you, to your will, to your great plan for redemption in their hearts, their minds, and this nation's. And all these things, we ask them in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ivan, for leading us in prayer. It's such a privilege, I'm telling you, to be able to do that, to come together as brothers and sisters and just call on our God. So thank God for that ability to do that, to be members of the family of God. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us as we study the Word of God. You know, we're journeying together to rediscover who God is. And previously, we talked about omnipotent God, that he has all power, right? It's endless. And today, we're going to talk about the other omnis. Those are the characteristics of God, right? So when we talk about attributes of God, we're talking about who is God? What is he like? So today, we're going to talk about God being omniscient and God being omnipresent. All right. So the scripture today is taken from Hebrews 4, verse 13. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. And it says simply this: nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. Amen to the word of God. So now this particular scripture speaks to God's knowledge, right? It shows that he knows everything because nothing is hidden from him. In fact, when we examine the words that describe God's character, his attributes, we find the two words share a common prefix, omni, right? And that prefix means all. So when you attach it to a word, it gives the additional meaning of all. Therefore, when you say God is omniscient, the latter half of that word is science, to know. He has all knowledge. And when you put it in front of presence, it means he's everywhere. Now that is fascinating to me, Sister Judy. How in the world can he be everywhere? But that's who our God is. So let's break down the word knowledge. So it is the fact or condition of being familiar with something, gained through experience or maybe association. That's what it means to know, right? We get familiar with it because we experience it. Another definition is the fact or condition of being aware of something. So to know something, to have knowledge of something, means you have the fact or condition of being aware. We are aware of what is happening. We are aware of the weather outside, so we know what it's doing outside. The range of one's information or understanding is another meaning of that word knowledge, to know. The range of information. So you may know a little bit about math, or you may know a whole lot about math. What is your knowledge of math? Same thing with God. We might know a little bit about God, or we might know a lot, depending upon our experience with God. That's how we get to know him. The circumstance or condition of apprehending the truth or the fact through reasoning. So once you start putting the pieces together, you begin to understand and you begin to know. And so that latter description of the word knowledge uses the other word apprehend. I mean, really, I like words and I like looking them up and checking them out, see what they really mean. And when you look at apprehend, it actually comes from being able to grasp something physically, take hold of. So when we say we apprehend someone, we interrupt them, we stop them, we hold on to them. Or it's also known as comprehend. Comprend means to grasp. So if you say to someone, do you understand? Do you comprehend what is being said or what's taking place? That means, are you physically holding it in your hand to know it, to understand it? Keep those things in mind, because when we think about how great and big God is, he has all of the knowledge. So he holds all of it in his hand. Isn't that something? All of that is in his hand. Now for us, remember, we're limited. We're human beings. We can only know so much, right? You may actually become an expert in something, in one topic or a couple of topics. That's your expertise. You might really know something, Sister Susie. But in other things, not so much, right? Like, I know a couple of foreign languages, but can I go fix my car? I mean, I can add some oil if I have to, but I'm not getting up under there and changing it. I can even change my own flat tire. But that doesn't mean I'm going to go and put tires on everybody else's cars and fix the motor and get it. No, that's not me. So all of us as human beings have limited knowledge. But when we talk about God being omniscient, he knows all of the things about everything. So when we talk about him being omniscient, that's what we're saying. He knows all the things. He knows everything. And accordingly, when we talk about his presence, it means he is everywhere, in all of the places and in all of the spaces. Very big concept to try to comprehend, to actually try to understand. But we're going to talk about that. Because what does that all mean for us? So to be present means being in view or being at hand. So when something is at hand, it means it's right next to you. It's nearby, right? It's close. And so that's what it means to be present. You might be wondering, okay, that's kind of cool that God is those two things, those two omnis. He knows everything and is everywhere. But, you know, what does that really mean for us as believers? We already studied that he has all the power. So why does it really matter if God actually has all of the knowledge and can be everywhere? Why does that matter to us? And I think most of us would say, it's good enough if he has all the power. I'm good with that if God has all the power. But there's more to knowing God. And when we begin to understand the significance of him knowing everything and being able to be everywhere, that makes us rich in our relationship with God and our understanding of him. So knowing everything and being everywhere helps us better understand God's love for us and the quality of our relationship with him. So scriptures, both Old and New Testament, give witness to that. I have a list of them for you. Psalm 147 says this: God counts the stars and calls them all by name. Now, I don't know about you, but stargazing is one of the things I like to do. And that's why I like to go to the coast. Because when you go to the coast at night, there's not a lot of city lights. And when you look up into the sky, there's like thousands of stars. I've even gone out to one of our parks here where we do stargazing. And people have their telescopes out. And you can't have your lights on. You can't even use your flashlight. You actually have to have the red flashlight color so you don't disrupt the stars and being able to see them. So one night we were watching the comets. They were just flying through. We call them falling stars or shooting stars, right? Fascinating. And when I'm laid back on the blanket and I'm looking up in the sky going, you can't even begin to count all those suckers. That's a lot of stars up there. So can you imagine when the writer of the scripture says, yeah, for us, lots of stars. We can't even name them. We can't even count them all. We don't even know all of them. Because we believe that we live in a universe. But outside of our universe, outside of our solar system, there are other solar systems. And we don't even know the numbers of them all. But what this scripture says is, God knows every single one. He even named each one. Yeah, you know, isn't that amazing? All of the stars. But then, of course, that's nothing for him because he made all of us. And can we number all of the human beings that have ever lived before us or even the ones that are come after us? We can't. But God knows all of that. Matthew 10:30 says, God knows the very number of the hairs on our head. So, wow. Because who has the time to sit down and count all of the hairs on your head? You really have to be bored to do that. Just saying. And so there's a better way to use your time. I'm just going to encourage you to do that. Use your time in other ways. But God actually knows all the number of hairs that came out when you were brushing it today. He even knows that number that fell on your floor, that ended up in your brush or in your comb. He knows that whole number. 1 Chronicles 28:9, we see King David advising his son Solomon, who will succeed him on the throne and has been given the task of building the temple. Listen to what he says. 1 Chronicles 28. Solomon, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Worship and serve him, and with your whole heart and a willing mind. Listen to what he says. For the Lord sees every heart and knows every plan and thought. If you seek him, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. I know, listen to that. That's King David talking to his son. Build a relationship with God. Get to know who God is. Why? Because he sees everything. He knows everything. He even knows your heart, every plan, every thought. And if you seek him, you will find him. You will know him. And Jeremiah warns the people of Israel about the coming judgment of the false prophets. And he challenges the people when he says this in chapter 23 of Jeremiah. Am I a God who is only close at hand, says the Lord. Remember, close at hand, nearby. No, I am far away at the same time. Can anyone hide from me in a secret place? Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and earth, says the Lord? That's amazing. He is both right here next to us, but he's also out there very far away, orchestrating our universe or multiverse, however many solar systems there are. He knows all about every single last detail. So God is revealing to us that he is involved with each of us and also with the rest of creation. I'm not just next to you, he says. I'm out there with everybody else. That's an amazing God. That's what he's talking about when he says he is omnipresent. And then God promises the people of Israel, he will not leave them alone. And he tells them, don't be afraid in Isaiah 43. Listen to this. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid. For I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Why? For I am the Lord, your God. I know, amen and amen and amen to that. Do you hear what he's saying to the people? I don't care what situation you find yourself in. The rivers might be up to here, up to your neck. The fires are flaming around you. But guess what? I am with you. You don't need to be afraid. And somebody needs to hear that word today. You might be facing cancer. You might be facing pneumonia or bronchitis or the unknowns because the doctors are baffled. They don't know what to do for you. But guess what? God is with you even in that. And he says, don't be afraid. For I am the Lord, your God. And so we see from this particular passage that God's presence brings God's protection, right? He's here with us. Isaiah 40, if you look at verse 28 and a few of the following, adds to King David's advice. He teaches about the relationship with God. Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God. Remember, he is forever. The creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. So he is omniscient, has all of the knowledge. And we read this passage before, and remember, and it explained God's unlimited power. But read the rest of the verses that follow, verses 29 through 31. So I'll read the last verse, 28. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. And then it says this, 29. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youth will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. Verse 31. But those who trust in the Lord will find strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Amen. So it is our relationship with the God who is all powerful, but also all knowing and everywhere, who can give us strength. And when we know him, even though our physical bodies ail us, they will get tired. But that supernatural strength will rise up in us so that we will soar like eagles. And we will run and not feel like we've been running at all. That's the supernatural strength that we can tap into when we know who God is. So this is why David says you have got to build a relationship with God in order to be able to access all of who he is. So here, my friends, lies the significance of God being omniscient and omnipresent. Because God knows all the details about us and the universe and is at hand, he's nearby, he's involved with us, we can experience him, like we said last week, as Father, as friend, comforter, provider, Savior. He is not only the Almighty God, but he invites us to know him and to experience his power, to experience who he is. So look at the scriptures again. The key phrases state this. King David says, if we seek to know God, we will find him. So that's what one of the things we need to do. We actually need to try to know who God is. Seek after him. And then David says, because if you seek him, you're going to find him. Now, when Jesus comes on the scene, thousands of years later, after King David, he also says the same thing. Why? Because God doesn't change. That's another characteristic of God. We're not going to talk about that today, but God doesn't change. So the God of David way back thousands of years before Christ came is the same God. So when Jesus comes on the scene, he says the exact same things to his disciples. So remember his Sermon on the Mount? It's chapters 5 through 7-ish in the book of Matthew. So in Matthew 7, you hear Jesus saying this. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, Jesus says, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. So what is Jesus saying to us today? Because remember, scripture is not just for the people way back then. It's actually for us today. So if Jesus says, seek, ask, knock, keep doing it because God will answer, does that mean, oh, please, Jesus, I want to win the lottery. I need this winning ticket. Please, Jesus, I need to win the lottery. I need this winning ticket. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, if you want to know who God is, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, because God will reveal himself. If you want to know who God is in your life, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, because he will sure enough show up. But if you don't believe in God and you don't think, that church stuff, I mean, I go because my family likes to go, or my sister or whoever invited you. Yeah, that's good. That's a good start. But if you really want to know him for yourself, it's got to be more than just your friends who invited you to church. You have to want to know God for yourself. And so he says, ask. Ask me anything. I will show up for you. Seek me, and I'll let you find me. Knock on that door, and guess what? I'll open that door and ask you to come in. That's the God we serve. God is teaching us through his word that he cares about us, and he wants to save us, both in this world and in the next. The only way that this can happen is if we are in right relationship with God. So remember last week we talked about God being a known creator, right? Because some people actually believe, the agnostics believe there is a God, there is a creator, but he doesn't care about anything anymore. He just got things started and he's left us to ourselves. But our God is not that God. God did not create things and then abandon us to natural law. God actually wants to be known. He wants relationship with his creation. And so God has given his written word, number one, to show us how to know him. And he's given us his Holy Spirit as well to empower us, to give witness to his existence, to give us understanding. And so the Holy Spirit empowers us, teaches us, and guides us. The Holy Spirit is God's way of being with each of us, right? That's how God is everywhere. His Spirit lives in each of us who believe in God. And check this out, he's even with the people who don't believe in him. Ain't that something? I know, right? I'm like, oof, why would you want to be with them? But he says, my sun out there, guess what? It's shining on everybody, whether you believe in me or not. And when it rains, it's raining on all those people who believe in me or not. I'm with all of you because I am everywhere. That's the beauty of who God is. That's why he says, I want to be in relationship with you. You don't need to be a stranger to me. I created you to be in relationship with. Isn't that beautiful? That's the God we believe in. So God has done his part by being present with us, knowing all of the details about us, and providing a way of salvation. Someone's saying, yeah, okay, now tell me again, what is salvation? Salvation is simply this: knowing God and being in relationship with him. It's not knowing all the Ten Commandments, keeping all the rules and the regulations that you can think of. It's not all of the traditions that we have. That's not what saves you. It's your relationship with God that saves you. That's where the power of God comes from. That is how we know who he is and can experience his presence in our life. So allow me to explain what that might look like. How do we acknowledge God's existence? How do we follow King David's advice and Jesus' teachings? One of the ways is to do like the disciples. In the New Testament, in Acts, I think it's chapter 1, it's after Judas has actually left the group of disciples. Remember, he was one of the 12. But he ends up betraying Jesus. Jesus gets crucified, and so he just splits. He's like, he can't live with himself anymore because he can't live with what he's done. And so now the disciples are trying to figure out, okay, well, we need to you replace him, get someone else to go with us so that we can be witnesses and tell everybody else about Jesus and his resurrection. So this is their prayer to God while they're in the midst of doing this decision making. Acts 1:24 says this, O Lord, you know every heart. Show us which of these men you have chosen as an apostle to replace Judas in this ministry. A simple prayer, inviting God in. You know all of our hearts. You know everything about us. You know everything about this world that we live in. God, we need you to guide us. Reveal to us what you would like us to do. They ask for his unlimited knowledge and ask for his guidance. And God is asking us to do the same. We don't know everything, even though you like to think that you do. No, you do not. We just don't. So who do we turn to when we don't know things? Who do you turn to when you don't know things? That's a good question. Allow me to give you another example of seeking God and his wisdom. So once Solomon becomes king of Israel, he too gives advice on how to build a relationship with God, how to live with God in your life. And he tells us, when we lack knowledge, go to the one who has all of the knowledge. Now, it's real easy and tempting to go to your neighbor or go to your sister, sibling, somebody that you know, because they might know a little bit more about that car outside that's in the parking lot, okay? That's great. But even they have limited knowledge. What about those times when they don't even have the answer to it? Like in the instance of some of us in our body right now, you're gone to the doctor, and the doctor just simply, I don't know. But they're going to keep guessing. They're going to keep running tests to try to figure it out. But their knowledge is what? Limited. So Solomon says, oh, I got an answer for that. Go to the one who has all of the knowledge, not just some, but all. Listen to what he says in Proverbs. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline. Listen to these words, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair, he says. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Listen to verse 7. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. And then he says, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So what is Solomon saying? If you really want to know, get with God who has all the knowledge. When you believe that God exists, that is the foundation of your true knowledge. But if you are foolish, you'll be like, I don't care about that church stuff. I don't care about that God stuff. That's dumb. Okay. But if you're wise, you'll seek, you'll ask. You'll knock. Do you see the pattern of the scriptures that God has given us? The closer we are to God, the better we know him and can understand him. And knowing him means experiencing who he is. And because we experience God, that makes us better people. The benefits of being able to access God's unlimited knowledge. Look back at what Solomon gave us in Proverbs. When you tap into the one who has all the knowledge, guess what? It will teach you wisdom and discipline. You will have a successful life, right? Because God's wisdom teaches us those things that are right, that are just, that are fair, so that we can live with the other people on the planet like how God wants us to. God's wisdom gives us discernment, and we become even wiser. So yesterday you learned a lesson. Today you're learning a lesson. Tomorrow, guess what? You're going to be even wiser than you were yesterday and the day before. Why? Because you're tapping in to God himself, who has all knowledge. That's the beauty of his word. His word also gives us guidance for our lives. This is what God wants from us. Because he is present with us, he knows every single thing about us. And he doesn't just know it. This is what I want to impress in you today. He actually genuinely cares. And so whatever it is you're facing, he wants to be there with you. He wants to remind you, don't be afraid of the diagnosis. Don't be afraid of the landlord who's saying, I'm selling and rent is going up. Don't be afraid of your employer who says, well, you know, the budget is tight this year. We may have some layoffs. Don't be afraid of the bad news that could be out there, because God is with us everywhere. So as we close our time together, I want you to remember these three comforting truths. The first one is this: God knows every detail of our lives. The second one, God is always near us. He's right at hand, and he's also out in the universe caring for us all. And the third thing is this: God has the power to move in our lives because he knows every single detail and because he is with us every single day, every single moment. So I want to share one more passage of scripture to inspire us to tap into God's unlimited knowledge and to remember his presence in our lives. Psalm 139, I know it's probably one of your favorites if you're into the book of Psalms. It's a favorite because it's so rich in explaining who God is to us. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say, even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Now let's jump to the end of that passage and take note of the writer's prayer. The psalmist says this as he makes those observations about God knowing everything and being with him every step of the way. He says, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." Amen to the word of God. Let that be our prayer. Let us be reminded that God knows every single detail. He is with us. He will not abandon us. He's with us. All we need to do is ask, seek, and knock. Invite him into our lives so that we can experience his greatness. Pray with me. Holy God, we thank you. Thank you for knowing every detail of our lives, and we thank you for your promise to be with us throughout our lives, in the good times and in the not so good times. We pray, Jesus, that you would empower us by your Spirit to trust in your unlimited knowledge and to not be afraid of our circumstances because you are with us. Save us now and in the world to come. In your precious name, we pray it. Amen. And I would like to invite those who are watching us, who are streaming with us, reach out to us. We would love to hear from you. You can leave a message on the church phone. You can actually go online to the website. And if you have a prayer request or a praise report, or you want someone to just call you and speak with you, maybe explain who is this Jesus that we're always talking about. We'll be willing to do that. We would love to hear from you. We want to pray for you and walk alongside you in your journey as you get to know Christ. Thank you. We're going to have a closing song, and then I'll come back and we'll pray again.
Let's stand and sing, "Oh, Let the Son of God Enfold You." Very fitting song for those wonderful words.
Oh, come and sing this song with gladness. hearts are filled with joy. Lift your hands in sweet surrender to His name. Oh, give Him all your tears. Give Him all your years of pain, and you'll enter into life in Jesus' name.
Prayer for you this week is that you will know God's presence with you every day in a new way, and that you will tap into His infinite knowledge. Lord, bless you and keep you until we meet again. Go in God's grace and go in God's peace. Blessings.